ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto. I think there's some last verse on the last chapter. There's verse text 33. It has not purport. I just read that first, then we chant to this slogan. So there are some verses before this one, but they had no purport. So Vitrasura, he was addressing his demoniac soldiers. Vitrasura. Dal samatoya mitu drapo ya brahman sandarano ya chitasu kalibanam yagarato vijayat yat agrani virasaye nibritaha. Translation. There are two ways to meet a glorious death, and both are very rare. One is to die after performing mystic yoga, especially bhakti yoga, by which one can control the mind and living force and die absorbed in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second is to die on the battlefield, leading the army and never showing one's back. These two kinds of death are recommended in the Sastra as glorious. So that's the end of the end of chapter 10, and then chapter 11, the sixth canto, chapter 11, the transcendental qualities of Vitrasura. There is a Srila Prabhupada's summary of the chapter. I just read it because it's very, very important. This is a very important chapter that is dealing with Vitrasura. Vitrasura happened to be a demon. Vitrasura is a demon, but it's being glorified here on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see sometimes demons are glorious. And of course, Vitrasura was not an ordinary demon. Because we're going to be, as we read this chapter, we're going to be know more about him, about why Vitrasura was such a highly glorified, even though he was a demon, he was actually a devotee. Yeah, he was playing the role of a demon. For some purpose, as we read in the previous chapters, then of course in this chapter, and then the subsequent chapter, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport, summary of this chapter. This chapter describes Vitrasura's great qualities. When the prominent commanders of the demons fled, not hearing Vitrasura's advice, Vitrasura condemned them all as cowards. Speaking very briefly, he stood alone to face the demigods. When the demigods saw Vitrasura's attitude, they were so afraid that they practically fainted, and Vitrasura began trampling them down. Unable to tolerate this, Indra, the king of the demigods, threw his club at Vitrasura. But Vitrasura was such a great hero that he easily caught the club with his left hand and used it to beat Indra's elephant. Struck by the blow of Vitrasura, the elephant was pushed back 14 yards and fell with Indra on his back. King Indra had first accepted Vishwarup as his priest and thereafter killed him, reminding Indra of these heinous activities. Vitrasura said, "If one is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and depends on Lord Vishnu in every respect, then victory, opulence, and peace of mind are all inevitably available. Such a person has nothing for which to aspire in the three worlds. The Supreme Lord is so kind that he especially favors such a devotee by not giving him opulence that will hamper his devotional service. Therefore, I wish to give up everything for the service of the Lord. I wish always to chant the glories of the Lord and engage in his service. Let me become unattached to my worldly family and make friendships with the devotees of the Lord. I do not desire to be promoted to the higher planetary systems, even to Dhruvaloka or Brahmaloka. Nor do I desire an unconquerable position within this material world. I have no need for such things. Text number one. Si Sukha Vacha Taevam Sansato Dhamma Vacha Pratu Achetasa Naivagrinanta Sambrantaha Palayana Paranipa. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Vitrasura, the commander in chief of the demons, advised his lieutenants in the principles of religion, but the cowardly demoniac commanders, intent upon fleeing the battlefield, were so disturbed by fear that they could not accept his words. Text 2 to 3. Visayamana pritanam asurin asura sabam kalanu kulai tridasai kayamanam anatavat distva tapyata sankrudha indasatu amasitaha tanivayo jasarajan nivat siedam uvachaha. Translation. O King Parikshit, the demigods, taking advantage of a favorable opportunity presented by time, attacked the army of the demons from the rear and began driving away the demoniac soldiers, scattering them here and there as if their army had no leader. Seeing the pitiable condition of his soldiers, Vritusura, the best of the Asura, who was called Indrasatru, the enemy of Indra, was very much aggrieved. Unable to tolerate such reverses, he stopped and forcefully rebuked the demigods, speaking the following words in an angry mood. So, King, text number 4, we can repeat. King Va Kucharitai Matu Davadbi Pristatu Hatai Na Hi Bita Vadha Slagyo Na Swagya Suramanina Kimba Ucharitai Matu Davadbi Pristatu Hatai Nahi bita badas lagyo na swagya suramaninam kimba ucharitai matu davadbi pristato hatai nahi bita badas lagyo na swagya suramaninam Kimba ucharitai matu Dhavad bi pristatu hatai Nai bhita vadas lagyo Na swagya suramanina.
Yeah.
Matajis, ladies and gentlemen, Kim, what is the benefit for you with those like stool, Matu, of the mother that would be running away? Please tata from the back. Hatai killed. Not. He certainly beat about the killing of a person who is afraid. Slagia glorious. No. Slagia leading to the heavenly planets. Suramaninam, of persons who consider themselves heroes. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. O demigods, those demoniac soldiers have taken birth uselessly. Indeed, they have come from the bodies of their mothers, exactly like stool. What is the benefit of killing such enemies from behind while they are running in fear? One who considers himself a hero should not kill an enemy who is afraid of losing his life. Such killing is never glorious, nor can it promote one to the heavenly planets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vitisura rebuked both the demigods and the demoniac soldiers because the demons were running away in fear of their lives and the demigods were killing them from behind. The actions of both were abominable. When a fight takes place, the opposing parties must be prepared to fight like heroes. A hero never runs from the field of battle. He always fights face to face, determined to gain victory or lay down his life in the fight. That is heroic. Killing an enemy from behind is also inglorious, which means it's not glorious. When an enemy turns his back and runs in fear of his life, he should not be killed. This is the etiquette of military science. Vitisura insulted the demoniac soldiers by comparing them to the stool of their mothers. Both stool and a cowardly son come from the abdomen of the mother, and Vitisura said that there is no difference between them. A similar comparison was given by Tulsidas, who commented that a son and urine both come from the same channel. In other words, semen and urine both come from the genitals. Both semen produces a child, whereas urine produces nothing. Therefore, if a child is neither a hero nor a devotee, he is not a son but urine. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit also said, Kwata putrina jatina yona vidvana dhamikaha kanena chakshusha kimva chakshu pidaiva kivalam. What is the use of a son who is neither glorious nor devoted to the Lord? Such a son is like a blind eye who simply gives pain but cannot help one see. Gurave Gurachanda Radikata Dalaye, Krishna Krishna Bhakta Yata Bhakta Namonamha, Banja Kapa to be a chakra person of Chaparitana Pandu Vishnu Namonamha. So, here, in this verse, Vichitsura is rebuking the demigods, Kimva Ucharitan Matur, that what's the benefit of killing a defenseless enemy? Because in this particular situation, because of the blessing of the Brahmanas, so the demigods, they became so powerful that when the demon came to face them, so the demigods, they are so powerful that, so the demons, they became so afraid, and then they started running away from their lives. They started running away for their lives. And of course, as they were running, the demigods, they were attacking them from behind. So, in the previous verse, in the previous chapter, whereby the Vichitsura, he was telling the demons that, why are you running away? Why are you running away? Don't run away for your life. You're supposed to be fighters. You're supposed to be soldiers. A soldier never run away from the battle. And Vichitsura was saying, there are two types of glorious death. A kind of death that is considered to be glorious. One is, if one dies as a devotee, that is glorious. If one dies as a devotee, that is glorious. Or if one dies on the battlefield, that is also glorious. So, that as a devotee, one go home back to God dead. You know, we say that Anti Narayan Smriti. That at the end of life, one should remember Narayan. So devotees of the Lord, at the end of their life, they remember Narayan. Normally, whenever devotees are passing away, nowadays, many devotees are growing very old now. Many devotees are growing old. Many, many years ago, this kind of devotee used to be very young. I remember when I joined, I was 18, and the oldest devotee in the temple was 25 years old. So, but nowadays, everyone is old now, 65, 70s, and more devotees are passing away. So, when devotees are passing away, there's always kirtan. So devotees are always having kirtans and devotees are passing away. And then, obviously, when there's a kirtan and you live in your body, it's very glorious. It's a glorious death. Because the Yamaraj, they will not come close to a devotee. He's about to leave his body. And of course, as devotee, it doesn't mean that we should wait until the end of our life before we remember Krishna. Because if we think that we can wait till the end of our life before we can remember Krishna, that may not be possible. Because you may be attacked by some disease which may make it impossible for you to think of Krishna. So it's actually better to practice being a devotee now while you are very, very strong and healthy. That one should always remember Krishna and one should never forget Krishna. In Krishna consciousness, we have two rules. The first rule is, always think of Krishna. And the second rule is, never forget him. So our whole practice of Krishna consciousness is to always think of Krishna and to never forget Krishna. So ultimately, for a devotee, actually, there's really no death for a devotee. You know, it's said that, Jivava Marova, for a devotee, there's no life or death. Because a devotee is always in thought of Krishna, he's always thinking of Krishna. When he's alive, he's always engaged in the service of Krishna when he's alive. And then at the expiration of his body, when he gave up his present body, he will continue service to Krishna in the spiritual world or whatever planet that the world may arrange for him to go to. So a devotee is always engaged in service of Krishna, either when he's alive or when he's dead. So for a devotee, there's not really much of a difference between life or death. Whereas other people, there's a big difference. That even though one may perform so many activities in this material world, one may accumulate so many things in this material world, but all those accumulation, they become useless at the time of death. Whatever you might have acquired in this world, whatever riches you might have acquired, they have become useless at the time of death, because when the death comes, you cannot take them with you. They become all the assets which might have, they become of no use. Whereas a devotee who has developed love for Krishna, who has developed bhakti for Krishna, then that wealth of Krishna bhakti, he carries with him. So that's a big difference. So here, Vitusura, he was saying that truths that are glorious, when a devotee dies, it's very glorious. When devotee leaves his body, there is a big utsav, there's a big festival. Devotees, big festival. That, how wonderful that this devotee, he has gone home back to Godhead. When Haridas Thakur, when he was about to leave his body, he was very, very old, and he was lying down, and he was having a difficulty chanting. So Mahaprabhu came and said, my dear Haridas, what is how's everything? What is the news? So Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, I'm unable to complete my runs. This is my greatest calamity. I'm unable to complete my runs. And then of course Mahaprabhu said that Haridas Thakur, you are the Namacharya. By your chanting alone, the whole world has become purified just by your chanting. So Haridas was, he knows that the same idea is also actually, he prayed to the same idea, Lord, I know that very soon you will close your pastimes, and I don't want to witness the closure of your pastimes. So therefore, allow me to leave my body right now while looking at your face. So then Mahaprabhu, of course, came back the next day, along with all his devotees. All his video came, and they're having a big kirtan. And as they were having a big kirtan, then Haridas Thakur, but while gazing at the lotus face of Mahaprabhu, he gave up his body. So when he gave up his body, so a big kirtan arose, a big kirtan. So Mahaprabhu picked up the body of Haridas Thakur himself. And then the devotees were having a big kirtan, congregational kirtan, big festival. So, it's such a glorious passing of a devotee. So normally when a devotee passes, the demigods, they also celebrate. The demigods, they celebrate, how wonderful this person has attained the success of life. What is the success of life? Success of being in this material world. The success is being able to get oneself out of this material world and attain the devotional service of the Lord. So devotees, the demigods, they also play drums in the heavenly planet. They play drums. They also celebrate when a devotee passes away. So it's such a highly glorious affair. So a devotee's passing is not an ordinary passing. So, Vitusura said, two ways a person can meet a glorious death in this world, either as a devotee or as a warrior. Because when someone is on the battlefield, they are fighting. If somebody dies while fighting the opponent, that person goes to the heavenly planet. Just like when Krishna was telling Arjuna, that was telling Arjun that how glorious is such a fighting, because a person, when he dies in the battlefield, they go to heaven. So like Krishna was telling Arjun that you know, you should fight. If you win, you get to rule the kingdom. You got to enjoy the kingdom if you win. Or if you lose, if you lose your life, you go to the heavenly planet, you go to heaven, you'll enjoy. So in either way, you will enjoy anyway, either way. So why not just fight? Either you defeat your enemy, and then you get to rule the kingdom. Or if you die on the battlefield, you go to the heavenly planet. So in either way, you're a winner. So which means a soldier is never a loser. And of course, this is the Vedic principles. Those who are fighting for the right cause. But as I mentioned here, that a soldier, you should never run away from the battlefield. So either you fight, he has to fight to death, either until he remains victorious or until he loses his body. So this a person who does the opposite. If a soldier simply runs away from the battlefield because of fear of the enemy, then that is considered to be abominable. And so Vitasura here is, he became very, very disgusted that all his soldiers, they were all running away because they were afraid of the demigods. So now we know this Vitasura, even though yes, he was playing the role as a demon, but we all know who Vitasura is. Vitasura was not an ordinary demon. He was actually a great devotee of the highest caliber. You know, he was a great devotee, formerly King Chitraketu, very, very highly elevated devotee. But you know, one time he was, he made some comment which wasn't so nice. He made a comment which wasn't so nice, you know, because Lord Shiva, he was speaking Bhagavat, and as Lord Shiva was speaking Bhagavat, so Parvati Devi, his wife, was sitting on his lap. You know, and Lord Shiva was instructing all the brahmacharis, all the great sages, all brahmacharis. And then he was instructing all the great sages who were brahmacharis, and then on his lap, his wife was sitting on his lap. So King Chitraketu said, "Oh, what is this? Look at this, Lord. Look at this Shivaji. You know, he's supposed to control himself, and then he's instructing all these great sages who were celibates." So, of course, Parvati Devi, she became angry. She said, "Oh, look at this upstart! What kind of upstart you are? You think you are more elevated than Lord Shivaji? So therefore, I caused you to become a demon." So Chitraketu was caused to become a demon. But of course, because Chitraketu was a devotee, so even though he was caused to become a demon, so he actually accepted it. He simply came down and offered his obeisances. And he made his prayer to Lord Shiva and also to Parvati Devi. He made a prayer, you know, humbly accepting the cause which was meted out to him. And then Lord Shiva said, "Narayanam Parashave na kuchana bigvati swaga pavaga narakesu api." He said that the devotees of the Lord, they really don't care what situation they are. You can send them to hell. You can send them to heavenly planet. You can put them in any. You can put them in any form of body. It doesn't matter for them, because they always in thought of the Supreme Lord. So they really don't care what environment they are put in. So Chitraketu here, so he became a demon. He became a big demon, Vitasura. And being a Vitasura, being a big demon. So, and of course, normally the demons, they are natural enemy of the demigods. They are natural enemy of the demigods, the demons. So, and according to, from time to time, sometimes the demons, sometimes they become victorious, sometimes. And sometimes the demigods are victorious. there's always an eternal fight that goes on between the demons and the demigods. That fight always goes on. And of course, the demigods, they are supposed to be victorious because the demigods, they are the agents of the Lord. They are the supreme Lord's authorized agent, whereas the demons, they are always causing disturbance to the creation. You know. But sometimes the demigods, they become puffed up in their position. They become puffed up. Especially Indra. Indra always getting, because of his position, he gets puffed up all the time. He gets so proud. He becomes so proud all the time. So because of his pride, so from time to time, he gets chastisement from time to time. So many times, he gets defeated by the demons. Because the demons, they defeated the demigods, and then the demigod, they went to Vishwarup. Vishwarup is a great Brahmana. Was a great Brahmana, and he instructed the demigods what to do, how they can fight, how they can defeat the demon. But Vishwarup himself, he was also opposed to the demigods. So when he knew what Vishwarup was doing, so he went to kill. So he killed Vishwarup, who was the father of Vitasura. So this fighting started. But here, because the demigods, they've gotten this advantage position. So when they came on the battlefield, so all the demoniac soldiers, they all became afraid. So they all ran away from their lives. And this Vitasura was very angry that these demons, they were running away from their life. And then as they were running away, the demigods, they started, running after them, killing them. Running after them and killing them. This is also not a good act. So Vitasura said, how can you be killing a runaway, someone who's afraid of you, somebody who's running away. So therefore, Vitasura is saying here, Kimva Ucharita Matu, Davadbi Pristato Hatai, Nahibu Davadas Lagyo, Naswagya Suramaninam. That what is the benefit? What are you going to gain from such killings? These demon soldiers, Uchari, they are not better than the stool of their mother. Because anyone who runs away from his responsibility, such a person is considered to be stool. That is the comparison. Because these demons, because they've run away from the battlefield, instead of staying and fight, so they are compared to the stool of their mother. Demigods, these demoniac soldiers have taken birth uselessly. So why are you fighting them? What benefit is you going to gain? You're not going to get no benefit from that. You're not going to get any benefit from such killing. He said, indeed, they have come from the bodies of their mothers exactly like stool. So what is the benefit of killing such enemies from behind while they are running away in fear? One who considers himself a hero should not kill an enemy who is afraid of losing his life. Such killing is never glorious, nor can it promote one to the heavenly planets. So the demigods, they also engaging themselves in an irreligious act. So Vitasura is condemning both the demigods and also the demons. He's chastising both of them. Because both the actions are an abominable action. Like Srila Prabhupada mentioned in purport here, he said that when a fight takes place, the opposing parties must be prepared to fight. So a hero never runs from the field of battle. He always fights face to face, determined to gain victory or lay down his life in the fight. So that is heroic. So, and to kill an enemy who is running away is not heroic. Because this is the Vedic system. So Vedic system is like that. Vedic system is such that, just like in the in the very system, when the shelters, when they were fighting, normally they fight in the daytime, and then at the night time they stop fighting, and then they become each other's friend, and then they go to each other, they joke among each other, they talk among each other, you know, in the night time when the day of the fighting is over. Just like when Krishna, Arjun and Bhima, they went to Jarasandha. Because Krishna wanted to kill Jarasandha, but Krishna did not want to kill his soldiers. He simply wanted to kill Jarasandha alone. So Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima. So they went to Jarasandha. So they went to him dressed as a Brahmana. And Jarasandha, even though he was a demon, but at the same time also he was always very charitable to the Brahmanas. Very charitable. So Jarasandha, he asked Krishna's Balaram, he asked Krishna that you're Brahmanas, so what can I give you? What benediction do you want? What charity do you want? So Krishna replied that the only charity we want from you is that we want to fight with you. So Jarasandha said, yes, I know that you are not a Brahmanas, and I know who you are. You are Krishna, this is Bhima, this is Arjun. But you have come to me. So anyway, which among you will fight with me? So Krishna said that you can choose any one of us. And then Jarasandha said, okay, I will fight with Bhima. So in this way they were fighting every day. So in the daytime they will fight like anything, a big fight. And then in night time they will have a good time in the palace, have a good time, they will joke, they will drink, they will do everything all together. So this is very principle also in the Mahabharata, also it's also like that. During the fight of the Mahabharata, the war, when they were fighting, in the daytime, even though there's so much killing, so much of thing was going on, but in the nighttime, the soldiers, they are free to go into the opposing camps. They are free to do that. So this is religious fighting. It's called Dharma Yudh. It's a religious fighting, which is according to the Vedic Dharma. Of course, not what is going on nowadays. Nowadays, everything, actually everything has no meaning nowadays. So this is a very important lesson here. And another thing that is very important here is that in the second paragraph here, whereby Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that the Vitrasura, he was comparing his demoniac soldiers to be like stool of their mother. So like Prabhupada said, I said both stool and a cowardly son come from the same abdomen of the mother. The stool come from the same abdomen. The stool. Oh, another example, like Tulsidas always giving the example of a putra and mutra. So putra and mutra comes from the same place, same channel. Putra means the sun. Mutra means urine. So the semen which produces the sun, a sun, comes from the same genital. And the same is the urine, came from the same genital. Now, we know that the semen produces, it has benefit, it's very beneficial. Whereas the urine, once it passes away, it has no benefit whatsoever. Similarly, also, if one produces a son, but if the son does not become a devotee of the Lord, then such a son is useless. It's not better. It's just like a urine. It's just like a mutra. If one simply produces a son, and that son does not become a devotee of the Lord or does not become a great hero, then such a son is useless. So therefore, La Prabhupada mentioned here, he quoted the Chanakya Pandit, Kuata putina jatena yona vidvana dhamika kanena chakrishakimva chakshu pudaiva kevalam What is the use of a son who is neither glorious nor devoted to the Lord? Such a son is like a blind eye, which simply gives pain but cannot help one see. So that's why the Bhagavatam says that if one wants to produce if one wants to produce an offspring, then one must make sure that such an offspring, such children, they have value in their life. That one should not just produce children just like cat and dog. So therefore one should not become a guru, one should not become a father or an ancestor if one cannot deliver one's progeny from the ocean of repeated birth and death. So the offspring that are produced who simply become trouble to the society, such offspring, they are like they are compared to the mutra, they are compared to the urine. There's no value for them. And a person who have produced such an offspring, you know, it gives so much pain. If you're a father and your son is useless, it's so much pain to the heart. It gives so much pain. Because nowadays, the whole world has this is what the whole world has become. Because nowadays, everyone is producing children, without being mindful of what they are producing. So all the offspring, they are simply becoming useless. They are becoming simply trouble to the society. So therefore, the whole society nowadays, everything has become a very painful situation. So anyway, so this is the Vedic principle here. So here, Vitusura here is chastising both the demigods and also the demon, especially the demigod, telling them that why are you going after these stool-like persons? There's no value in you going after them and simply claiming that there's no value. So as we go on in this chapter, we're going to learn more about Vitusura. This chapter is described as the transcendental qualities of Vitrasura. So which means a person can be a demon, but it can be a demon by external appearance. It doesn't mean that internally is a demon. Externally is a demon externally, but internally is a devotee internally. So this is a great thing about Vitrasura here. If somebody can be a demon, it can be a demon at the same time also is actually a devotee. And that's why after he was killed by when Indra killed him, actually, when Indra, because Vitusura was preaching, he was preaching to Indra. He was preaching to him about the goal of life. He was preaching to him about the necessity of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So, as he was preaching to Indra, so Indra started thinking, oh, This person is a devotee. Why should I fight with him? So Indra didn't want to fight. He didn't want to fight with Vitrasura. But Vitrasura said that, no, you have been given a weapon to kill me. So therefore you have to fight. So it's very, very interesting, that chapter. This chapter and the next. Very, very interesting. You know, this chapter and also the next chapter. So Hare Krishna. I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much. Any question or comments about Vitusura? Anybody want to add something? Want to make a comment about this? Now, how somebody can be called a demon, but it's actually a devotee? So it's like a contradiction, right? You call someone a demon, but he's actually a devotee. So it's very contradiction, isn't it? So this is what we are facing here in the Bhagavatam. Okay. No question or comment? Nobody want to add anything? Want to add something? Some comment? Yeah.
What can we do that at the lifetime? At this time, we remember Krishna. What is practice in present life, which work we do daily? Chanting, I am doing chanting and pujas.
What you can do to remember Krishna in this life? Yeah. Come to the Radha Spirit temple, serve. Now take a service. Always do your japa mala, always chanting. And render service. You know, render service to the Lord. If you do that, you will always remember Krishna. Because service to Krishna means that's a remembrance of Krishna. Because you are serving the person, you are serving that person that you're always remembering. So, the best form of remembrance is to serve. That's the best one, is to serve, service. So we should come to the temple and render all kind of service. If you cannot come to the temple, if you are, then we can serve Krishna by our activities, by giving the result of our activities. Whatever we do, the results should be offered as an offering to Krishna. That's a service. Then you will remember Krishna. In that way, whatever you do, you will not be, you will not be bondage to you. So, I will remember Krishna by serving Krishna. And the best way to serve Krishna is to serve his devotee. Serve Krishna's devotee, then that's the best way to serve Krishna. When you serve Krishna's devotee, Krishna becomes much more happy than to serve him directly. Because normally, you really don't know how to serve Krishna, but you can serve Krishna's devotee. That's better. Then you can get the perfection of life by service to Krishna's devotee. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Slava Prabhupada ki. Ganatrasma Bhagavatam ki. Go up in Manandaya. Hare Krishna.